So let's learn today's daf. I'm going to do yesterday's daf Yud Gimel. So daf Yud Gimel, we have over here a very nice inyan. I found this in the Rav Mordechai Kornfeld. I like very geschmack how he writes up the sugya of changing of the name of Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram. He has a very beautiful Rabbeinu Bachya. Never do this. Rabbeinu Nissim Goyin, he discusses the difference between the three of us. Avraham's name was permanently changed on daf Yud Gimel. Are we doing what we were doing now the day before? That's our new Seder. So Avraham's name was Avram, was changed to Avraham. This was a permanent change. And the Gemara goes so far to say that if you call Avraham by the name Avram, you either are Naseh or Lois Naseh, and it's not brought down Lahalacha. It's a whole shayla. Is it a real asay? Real asay on asmachta? Someone learned that it only applied during his lifetime. It really was a real asay and a lois asay, but it was only true during the lifetime of Avram. But after he died, then it no longer isn't. It's not necessarily the right thing to do. But the toikef of an asay and a lois asay goes away. It was only when he was living. Okay, but yid now. What about Yaakov? If Yaakov, the Gemara concludes, lo yikari oit shimcha Yaakov ki yisrael yeshemecha. That refers to, and the Gemara goes on to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did call Yisrael by the name of Yaakov. So therefore we see that what it meant, Lo Yikari Oit Shimcha, means it's not going to be the only name. You're going to have another name, but the first name remains in its place. You have two names. You have a name Yaakov and you have a name of Yisrael. What about Yitzchak? Yitzchak's name was never changed. Yeah. Yitzchak's name was called Yitzchak by his father Avraham. Yeah. Really, Hashem said he'll be called Hashem. Hashem also mentioned his name will be Yitzchak, and his name was never. So, what's the difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Avraham's name was permanently changed. Yitzchak's name was never changed, and Yaakov's name was given an additional name. So, the answer given. The answer given by Rav Nissim Goyin has a beautiful Rav Nissim Goyin in Yerushalmi has a beautiful answer. Who gave Avraham the name Avram? Who named him? Terach.
Yeah.
Terach. So Terach was an Oyed Avodah Zarah. The Shoresh of the name is not a pure source. It came from an Oyed Avodah Zarah. The Mela, that's why the name was permanently changed. Completely removed. The name Avram no longer is in existence. It's completely changed because a person, where does something, you always have to look where something comes from. Who gave the name Yitzchak? Hashem. Hashem told Avram, you're going to have a son and you're going to call him Yitzchak. Hashem was the name. Hashem, you can't do better than that. There is no need to change. Yaakov. Who called Yaakov by the name of Yaakov? So the answer is, two people called him Yaakov. He was called Yaakov by his Hashem. Wait, Yaakov, I forgot this already. Give me one second. Yaakov was called Yaakov by give me one second.
His father,
Yaakov was called, as he was called. What does it say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov, and he was also called Yaakov by Yaakov. By Yaakov also. So he was called Yaakov by two people. He was called Yaakov by Hashem. You have to look in the Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas Toldos. Okay, he was called Yaakov by Hashem, and he was also called Yaakov by Yitzchak. So therefore, mitzad Hashem, being that Hashem called him Yaakov, that never goes away. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yitzchak, and anything which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's permanent, that's forever, so the din Yaakov never goes away. But being that Yaakov was also called Yaakov by Dover Achid, there's another interpretation of Rashi, which Elu Ve'elu Divulukim Chayim, there's also a degree that since Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esav, he was Echezes Ba'akev Esav, there were other reasons why he was called Yaakov, and his relationship to Esav, that was given by a human being, even though Yitzchak, of course, is an early tzimah and he's as holy as possibly can be, but it's still an earthly source due to reasons, other considerations. That was changed. That was changed. You're no longer going to struggle. Echezes ba'akeve. So you're going to be a high major, you're going to prevail. Ki sorisa im huelokim v'yodam batuchol. You're going to prevail upon Esav. You're not just going to hold on to his ankle. Why did Yaakov call his son, why did Yitzchak call his son Yaakov? Because he was holding Esav in check. Esav was going to come to conquer the entire world, and Yaakov held on to his ankle. Though Esav, you're not going to conquer the world, I'm going to hold you back. But that does not bring bring out the idea that Yaakov would overcome Esav, would prevail upon Esav. Ki sorisa im huelokim bima anoshim v'atuchol. So that had to be changed. So that's what we find Yaakov Avinu's to review. Yaakov Avinu has two names. What is it? We have Yaakov, permanent name, and we have Yisrael. Why does he have two permanent names? Because who gave him the name Yaakov? Two people, two sources. One from the Ribbono Shel Olam and one from Yitzchak. The source of the Ribbono Shel Olam never changes, and that's why the name Yaakov remains forever. But the second source of the name Yaakov came from Yitzchak, and that was a lower madrega, only because you're holding on, you're holding back Esav. That has to be changed. That Sheresh only is a temporary mahalach. You're holding him back, but the day will come when you'll prevail, you'll overcome him, you'll prevail upon him, which is Yisrael. That's why Yaakov has two names. But Yitzchak only had one name. Hashem called him Yitzchak, and that was it. Zehu. So his name remains Yitzchak. Avram comes from Terach. Terach, we don't want to have a shaykhus to Melu. We're going to go back to the name of Avram, was going to be turned into the name Avram. We know a name is a very holy thing. A Stipler says that not only that, others say as well, when a parent gives a name to a child by a bris milah, it's a moment of Ruach HaKodesh. Because the name of the person, we may not realize, we don't understand how it works, but the name of the person defines his essence. How in the world does a parent know the essence of his child? He thinks he's naming it after a grandfather, great-grandfather, this and that, and so many times it happens the very last moment, there are fights, and there are other considerations, and they name the very mamish, 2 minutes, how many times does it happen? You go take a poll, ask parents, how many times it happened? Literally, the morning of the bris milah, they changed the name. They were going to name the child this, and they had parents had a big fight the morning of the bris milah, and they decided they're going to name. Probably happens more often than not. You still don't know all the details. But how does the parents know to define the essence of their child? So the Gedolei Yisrael say it's Ruach HaKodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the mind of the parent a certain divine inspiration that this is the essence of the child. So you see this, you see Terach. Terach was not on the Madrega that his name should endure forever. That's what had to be changed from Avram to Avraham. I want to keep you here too. Let me finish. We'll talk privately when we finish. Yeah. Okay, now I want to tell you a beautiful, beautiful word. What? You want to answer your question very quick?
If Hashem put the name of Yaakov Israel,
yeah.
Why in Amidah we don't say Elkei Abraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Israel?
So I saw that question asked, yes, because the Yisrael is La'asin Lavo. That's for the future. The shleimus of Yisrael will come when Mashiach comes. Right now in Golis, he's still referred to Yaakov, which is a name which refers to Yaakov.
And the priority is the name that Hashem gave him.
It's a nevuah for the future. It's something which will be fulfilled in the future. At this point in time, we're still in Golis. If you want to learn another Mahalach, because there has to be only 26 letters in the three names together, and Yav and Yisrael, you're going to mess up the Shemos. That's another Kabbalistic answer. Okay, this is a gem. This Vard is a gem. This comes from Rav Noach Klein. He's one of the contributors to the Sefer Daf Al Hadaf. And he asks a question, why is it that Yaakov, the simple question we just discussed, another approach, why is it that Yaakov Avinu, why does he have two names, Yaakov and Yisrael? If Hashem changed the name of Avram to Avraham, and Hashem changed the name of Sarai to Sarah, so why couldn't Yaakov be a permanent change? Why is the name Yaakov preserved? Same question, Yisrael in the denim. There's another answer. So he said, look carefully, we can say it's based on the same answer. The same approach we said before, that who gave him the name? Two names. He was given the name of Yaakov, was given the name by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and was given the name by Yitzchak. Now he says a little bit further. He says that if you look in the Torah, you really find two reasons for the name Yaakov. Number one is Yodoy Oichezes Ba'akeves. That's a little bit of a twist, a little bit similar to what we said before, but different, a little bit different. Yodoy Achezes Ba'akeves. Yaakov Avinu is holding on to the ankle of Esav, holding him back from going and destroying the world. And it's, we also find the name, the explanation for the name, when Yaakov stole the Bechoira from Esav. And what did Esav say? He complained bitterly, he cried. That's why he was called by the name of Yaakov. Vayakveni Zefamoyim. He tricked me. Okev means to be crooked. Esav said the reason why he was called Yaakov is because Vayakveni Zefamoyim. He tricked me twice. He bought the birthright. When I came back from the field, I was hungry. I wanted to eat the pottage. So I sold him the bechor for the pottage. And now he went and he disguised himself as me. He went to my father Yitzchak and he got the brachos, the birchas of Yitzchak. So by Akveni Zef Hamoyim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the first reason I like. I like the first reason. Yaakov, Yodoy Oichezes Ba'akev Esav. But to say that Vayakveni Zef Hamoyim, no. It's not that's not true. It's not in the Bechor was Yaakov didn't deserve the birthright. Forget about all the other technical details. He deserved the birthright. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look very carefully in the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem had appeared to Yaakov the Maros Halayla. Vayomer, and he said, man, I'm just quoting the pasuk from memory. Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. V'lo yikorei oit shimcha Yaakov ki im Yisrael yihiyah shemecha. It's a very strange pasuk. The pasuk begins with a statement. Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. But v'lo yikorei oit shimcha Yaakov ki im Yisrael. So we read it in Cheder. Okay. The name, you just like some poetic repetition, like Yeshaya, poetic repetition, the name that happened to be Yaakov, that you known as Yaakov, no longer will be Yaakov, is going to be called Yisrael. Shav Noach Klein says, no. There are two reasons for the name Yaakov. There's a Yaakov and a Yaakov. The first Yaakov is Eichezes Ba'akev Esav. There's a second Yaakov because Ayakveni Zef Amoy. So Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu when he says, the first one, Yodei Achezes, Shimcha Yaakov. That remains. That doesn't go away. That first name of Eichezes Ba'akev Esav, the Tafkid of Klal Yisrael, is to hold Esav in check, not to let Esav get carried away. Shimcha Yaakov. That's not going anywhere. But the other name, the other reason for the name Yaakov, because Vayakveni Zef Amoyim, I don't like that Hashem says. You didn't trick him. Yilo Yikorei Oid Shimcha Yaakov Kiyim Yisrael, as far as the Bechora, the birthright, that you are the Bechora, not that we're going to change into Yisrael. It should not be considered that you have taken the birthright illegally through corruption, through trickery, but it's your entitlement. So that's a beautiful parish. Two different Yaakovs. Not like what we've said from the Nissan Goyen. Nissan Goyen says there are two Yaakovs. One from Hashem, one from Yitzchak. That's, put that aside. It's very nice. And Elu the Elu, another Mahalach. There are two Yaakovs. Hashem says, Shimcha Yaakov. The first one remains. The second one, we're going to switch. Okay, now let me tell you one other thing, which I'm not telling you this because that's so much because of the Vart, but because of the story behind it. It's a very interesting insight into the Chafetz Chaim, into the Mishnah Berurah. We have here the Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel talks about Kriya Shema. You can say Kriya Shema in any language that you want. Machlokes. It says the one of the Hayu, and it says the word Shema. So the Gemara, there has to be a balance. The word V'hayu in the Gemara, in the beginning of Daf Yud Gimel, is Kriya Shema must be recited V'hayu, the way it's written, in Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew. V'hayu, yeah?
Just
the
Hayu Hadvarim
Ha'ela.
Not just
the whole expression. Yeah. Ha'ela. It must be in Hebrew, only Hebrew. But on the other hand, it says Shema. And Shema means understand. Not every understand. Any language which you can possibly understand. So the Gemara debates the issue. What's the ikar? Is it the Hayu Hadvarim Ha'ela or is it Shema? So Halacha Lamai, so we pass them like the Ma'am Yama that says Shema. You can say Kriya Shema in any language you want. Inland, Japanese, Chinese, Portuguese, Russian, whatever language you understand.
As long as you understand.
Oh, as long as you understand it. As long as you understand it. Along comes the Chofetz Chaim in the Ber Halacha, Simon Samach Beis, and he says an incredible chiddush, which everyone is very disturbed. Umasha kosafti oid b'mishnebura the ze'ein matzoi mishum v'lani astaiti. The laniya staiti. He's saying his own opinion. The belav hachi bevadei lo yotze b'kriyashma ki af im nema ki af im noymar demash shamin. This that we say b'chol loshon shata shemel loy koyin. I'm reading the wrong part of the Mishnah Berurah. Give me half a second. Just one line. What he says. Where is it? It should be right over here. Vada od. Here it is. Vada od. You shall know also. The nearly. Okay, the Chofetz Chaim is saying his own opinion. Doesn't say this anywhere. The nearly the pshitus, and it's pasha to me. The oisem devarim hanemar mecholoshon. Those things which you can say in any language you want. Who dafka? It's only im anshe also hamedina medabim kach. If the people of that community, that country, speak in that language, gesundheit. Avlim anshe hamedina einam yicholim medaber zehaloshon v'rakhu. You're the only one that knows this language. And maybe also he's generous to the Chofetz Chaim. The Ode is Anoshim Yechidin. You can make a collection. Go around, you can make a collection. A few people know this language. Zeh Loshon. Zeh Loi Nechshav Loshon Klal Limedina Zo She'en Makeris B'Zoha Loshon. And it's no good. So in other words, the Chofetz Chaim is passing. I don't know, you have to give different examples. America was a big melting pot. So I don't know if you can say this in America, but let's say in America, you'll tell me some language no one ever heard of. Give me some language, I don't know. Tell me a language of some country you never heard of. What?
Urdu.
Some Chinese dialect, okay, that no one ever heard of. There's a club in America. There are 20, 30 people in the whole America that know this language, this dialect of Chinese, and they all get together once in 6 months. They have a conference. The 30 people that know this language, they get together in a conference. You know, this Indian language, they're expiring, they're becoming extinct. There's certain Indian language, a few people, and they go and they try to talk to these Indians to preserve the language before they die. They're going extinct, but there's a conference. There's a conference in America once in 6 months. They all get together and they all talk in this foreign language to preserve the language. And now they all get together, and now they write a siddur, the siddur of the funny language, and they have kriyashma. And you want to say the language, you want to be kind of kriyashma by reciting the very thing in this language. So 30 people, the whole America know the language. Ayyotza? Well, the Gemara seems to say so. The Gemara says, Shema b'chol lashon sha'ata shomea. Along comes the Chofetz Chaim, and he says, no, you're not. Because when the Gemara, b'chol lashon sha'ata shomea, there's a Tanai. The Tanai is, it has to be understood by the Hamoin Am in this Medina. It could be that other Medinas they don't know, but in this Medina they know it's good enough. That's what the Chavah. Shver B'chadish. Rav Chotner, Zecha Tzarek Levracha, in Taras HaNazir, one of the son that he published when he was a young Bacha, he published this when he was in his early 20s. Can you imagine? In his early 20s, he published Sefer. So he quotes the, okay, I don't know, I'm not going to go, it's not important to go into the details, but he quotes the Sugya in the person, Makabal Nazirus. Makabal Nazirus. So there are different expressions the Gemara gives, different languages. In Kabbalah and Zeus, the Gemara says, what's the difference between Lashon Kodesh and other languages? So the Gemara there says that those languages, Lashon Kodesh, you don't have to understand. You say it, you're not. Other languages, you have to understand the language. Okay, I don't know the question. He asked a question that based upon this Chofetz Chaim, this Mishnah Berurah, this Ber Halacha, there should be a much more basic nafkamina, that those other languages, they're only going to be good if it's understood by the Medina. The precise, it's not the point I want to make. I want to just put a historical point. Just something interesting. He has a kasha, a very strong kasha. I didn't fully grasp the depth of the kasha. Then he has another kasha, I can say a little bit better. And that is, the Gemara says this halacha in Tosfos, talks about there are various parashos which you have to say, you have to read, like parasha for one of Sota. You have to say the parasha, read the parasha of Sota. And so they have the same exact dilemma. You have to say it either. Do you say it only in Hebrew, or can you say it in any language which you understand? It's all part of the Gemara's dilemma. But wait a minute. I've heard they ask this question. Where do you recite the parasha of Sota? in the Beis Hamikdash. You don't say the parish of Sota in Africa.
Hey.
If a person has a wife that's a problem, he brings her to the Beis Hamikdash. They give her the Mayim Hamorim in the Beis Hamikdash. So the only place where you have the option of speaking Chinese, the parish of Sota, will be in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not mistaver that there are a large number of people in Yerushalayim that know every single language. The Sanhedrin knows. But the Mishnah Berurah says that's not enough. It does not have to have Yechidim. He says if you have a few Yechidim, that's not enough. You have to have, the whole Medina has to know the language. It's not mistaver that the whole Eretz Yisrael knows every single language. So it's a very good kasha. Because the Gemara says that according to the Mandi that says Shema, and we take that to its logical conclusion. Every parasha you can say in every, that's part of the Gemara. Every language, everything that needs to be said can be said in any language which you understand. But the Mishnah Berurah says, even if you understand it, there's a limitation. You have to only say language in that country where most of the people understand that language. But what?
Aramaic.
Aramaic, everyone knew Aramaic. What? They did know Aramaic.
So why couldn't the guy brought the song?
Most people understood Aramaic.
Fine, Aramaic. Fine, but the Gemara seems to say every single language. We're not only referring to Aramaic. We're referring to the Gemara. It's a doichik to say only Aramaic. It's mash from the Gemara. It calls Shema means every language in the world. There's a possibility. There is a. So the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, of course the possibility. Go to that country. You go to that country, every single language has a country, so you go to that country, you have a possibility. But that's not true. When it comes to Soto, you have to stay in the Beis Hamikdash. And it's not mistaver to say that the whole Klal Yisrael, everyone knows every single language. You're not going to have more than a few Yechidim at most that know the language. So how could the Gemara say Shema, every language is going to be fit? It's a very good kasha. So this is a funnest kasha in Teres HaNazir. He's under 20 years, he's probably in his early 20s, because he came to America when he was 26. And this kasha, Teres, he put this already when he was in Vilna. So he was by Chaim Oizer Gudzinski. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Mm-hmm. And he said Chaim, and he told this guy, he was talking about it, so he told him, and the Chavetz Chaim then was going to Radin. And Chaim always says, when you go to Radin, go to the Chavetz Chaim and ask him the Kasha. Chaim always convinced him that he should make the effort to go to the Chavetz Chaim to ask him the Kasha. It appears from the story, we saw this in Daf Aladaf, that Chaim Oiza, the Rafun writes this, I think he writes this not, I think in the Mechtovin. It's in the Pacha Yitzchak in the Mechtovin. There's a whole volume of letters. I think it's there. It's not in the Teres Nazir. He went to the Chofetz Chaim, and he really was very, very old. He was very old and very, very weak, and he asked him the Kasha. So this is the story. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, I don't know Yiddish, so probably, I'm sure it sounds a lot better in Yiddish, but the gist of what he said to him was, so good kasha, I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer, but the question was: this, well, the Chofetz Chaim wrote this halach over here in Mishnah Berurah. The question was from Sota. The question was from Sota, based upon what he wrote here in the Mishnah Berurah, that you have to. Everyone has to. Everyone in that Medina must understand the language. From Sota, smash you don't. How can the Chofetz Chaim say that everyone in the Medina must understand the language? The Chofetz Chaim said to him, "It's a good kasha. I don't know the answer. But all I can tell you is, when I wrote the Mishnah Berurah." When I wrote it, and I wrote the Be'er Halacha, I was deeply immersed in the sugya, and I worked out every possible issue that there could be. So if I wrote it, I trust what I wrote. Even though now I'm now old and I'm weak, and I don't know. I don't remember. When I learned it very, very well. It was written with precision. And I trust what I wrote, despite your question, despite that I can't give you an answer now. If you would have asked me then when I was learning, I would have had an answer for you. So I just found it to be a very interesting thing which you take out of this stuff. Okay, so we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day. Samach Beis. Samach Beis in the Be'er Halacha. Vida. Vida.
Okay.
Yerushalmi, I don't know. Look in the tour. In the tour, it is... Yeah, I told you, yeah. Rosh Hashanah. Have a nice day.
Talk about shaving, yeah?
Yeah.